Good morning. I've enjoyed that song service already, Satchel. Thank you for leading in that. That one song that we sang, if we really stop and think about what we were singing, that was 540, "Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken." Go then, earthly fame and treasure, come disaster, scorn and pain. What this song is talking about is not something we would naturally, normally want. In thy service, pain is pleasure. With thy favor, loss is gain. And verse 3 says, man may trouble and distress me, 'twill but drive me to thy breast. Life with trials hard may press me, heaven will bring me sweeter rest. Oh, 'tis not in grief to harm me. And I pondered, and I'm not sure I quite grasp what he's trying to say in those couple of words. Oh, 'tis not in grief to harm me. I'm not sure if I fully get that. My mind did go to something I read. A doctor was talking to his patient. I'm not sure what the surgery was that was going to be, or did it have to do with the eyes, maybe some type of surgery or something. And he said, doctor was trying to reassure his patient. He said, I might hurt you, but I will not injure you. And they were making a parallel to how God may work in our lives at times. For a title, I have chosen two words, faint not. And I trust that we can be encouraged this morning. I will say, if anyone needs to hear this, it's probably me. And I don't share this thinking that there's anyone here that is like seriously struggling or anything like that. I share this maybe more out of what God is working in my own heart. Faint not. And we see that those two words a few times throughout the New Testament. Most of us, if not all of us, have had experiences in life that we cringe at. We've gone through things, we've faced things, maybe even going through things, that if we were to choose, we would go another way. We would do something else. We would avoid some of the valleys that come our way if we had the choice. My mind went to the song we're probably familiar with, God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. God has not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He has not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. God has not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky and steep, never a river turbid and deep. God hasn't promised those things. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing. This has kindness. I think the song I'm familiar with says sympathy. Unfailing sympathy, undying love. As I considered the thought of not fainting, fainting not, you know, some of life's experiences, things that we go through, things that we face, they can wear on us. They can have an effect on us. This word faint is used in the Greek in, there's two different meanings to this word. So it's two words, I guess you would say. The one meaning is, the number 1590 is, the meaning of faint is to relax, to unloose as a bowstring. So picture, say like a musical instrument or something that has strings, to unloose them. So that's a picture here of this fainting. And so to unloose as a bowstring, and so to enfeeble, it said. So it's the idea of, you could almost say, being made useless. Or we could say, sometimes we can become indifferent, or just things just, we just allow our hearts to well, as the word says, we faint. We're not pressing forward in the grace of God. We choose to withdraw, perhaps, you could say. The other one, 1573, means to lack courage, lose heart, and be faint-hearted. You could say discouragement. We become discouraged, we faint. A couple of verses here that use this word. The first one is Galatians 6, chapter 9, and it actually uses both of these words. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So weary is the first one of the relaxing, the unloosing, and the if we faint not, we shall reap if we faint not. That is the fainting of lacking courage. If we faint not, we shall reap. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Another one is in Luke 18, and here's one where we probably can be challenged with at times. Luke 18, 1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And we find that in the most difficult times, sometimes, is not the easiest to pray. But we ought always to pray and not to faint. Hebrews 13 also uses, or Hebrews chapter 12, rather, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." In the challenges of life, consider Jesus and all that he faced. So, faint not. What happens when we lose heart? When our heart faints within us and we just feel like we can't go on. We become immobilized. We cannot adequately meet the needs of those around us, those that we're responsible for. If we're fainting, we're going to lack in our meeting the needs of those around us. We become like that instrument. It's no longer playable. The strings have become loosened. Sort of how it is when we lose heart or we faint. Another thing is we become inward focused and lack care and service to our family and others. Kind of just continuing on with that thought. So if we're oftentimes when we faint, our focus takes a turn from God to ourselves. So we find ourselves in difficult situations at times. The valley that we might go through, it can be different things. It can be God's chastening us. Sometimes that valley might be caused by others. Sometimes it's the inevitable dealings of life. Circumstances completely beyond our control. The inevitable dealings of life, things like death and things that will come, they can be difficult experiences for us. Could be shattered dreams and disappointments. Might be adversity, sorrow upon sorrow. And there could be so many things to put in there. It's not an exhaustive list of the difficulties we might face. There's a poem here by Jodi Cusero. She says, "I'm frightened by the enormity of the mountains that surround me, blinded by the darkness of troubles of which the end I cannot see. I'm drowning in worry and my soul is weary. These burdens I can no longer carry. This is known as the valley, a place of this deep despair. With no hope in sight, I fall to my knees in prayer. Lord, this journey is too hard. I feel so alone, and I'm so afraid of all the unknowns. The Lord took me by the hand, and in that moment, he helped me to understand. He said, 'My child, though the valley can be painful, it is a place of beauty. For it's in these moments you experience me fully. It's here when I hear your cries. It's here where I hear your cries and where faithlessness dies. It's a place of low-lying rivers where your thirst can be quenched and green pastures that offer you a place to reflect. It's a place where I'll carry you when you can't go another step, and I'll tell you about the tears I collected as you wept. It's a place where you'll learn perseverance, and one where you'll discover your purpose. It's a journey where testimonies are made, and one where you'll look back, when you look back, you will sing my praise. So no matter how painful, look for the beauty. Just open your eyes, for it is then that you'll see me walking by your side." So at times, the mountains ahead of us can overwhelm us. At times, we're faced with feelings of despair. These things want to come at us sometimes. Discouragement, emptiness, brokenness, loneliness, and that list could go on and on. But we have to remember, God has a purpose for everything he allows in our lives. And I'd like to look a bit at some of the, perhaps some keys or some ways to pull through. My mind went to, I believe it was last summer, when we had started a job up in Hershey on Church Road, and this was a steep driveway, steeper than you would care to have. I think 22-23% grade, some of it. I was reminded of this driveway just last week or the week before when I went up it again. Just doing some morning work. I had my pickup, and it worked my pickup to get up to the top. So the fellows were doing the foundation, and the concrete trucks had to make their way up this steep driveway. So the house was about 90 feet higher than the road. I'm not sure exactly the length of the driveway, but you get the picture. It was a little bit of a climb for them. And the first one went up, no problem. So it was one at a time up to the pump. And I was down at the bottom. So it's a church road, it's a busy road. We were just around a bend, and there was probably nine concrete trucks total. And so I had to do some directing down there. And one truck had to go up, unload, back down, let the next one in, and then pull back in to wash, and so on. It was just kind of a process. Well, the second one, or the third one, I don't remember which, he's starting his way up. And, you know, that worked him pretty good, a full load of concrete going up his hill. And so this driveway came in off the road and swung around to the right and then went around, turned to the left. Basically, it went to one from one side of the property to the other, so it wasn't quite as steep. And as he went around the turn to the right and was heading up to the next turn, he stopped. And stopping on that driveway is not a good thing because you probably won't get started again. I didn't know what happened. And I'm like, well, I don't think this truck isn't running anymore. So what went wrong now? And if you're familiar with concrete, you know you don't want a concrete truck full of concrete broke down. You got problems. So I didn't know what happened, if something went wrong with his transmission or what the situation was. But he put his brakes on, his air brakes, but that wasn't enough to hold it. It was too steep. So he kind of eased his way back down to the bottom where it was wide enough that we could bring a second one in. And so he sat there probably for a half hour, three-quarter hour, until they come out. Well, situation was, he did not have enough fuel to climb that hill. Perhaps he had enough under normal situations, but when he hit that hill, the fuel ran all the way to the back of his tank, or however that worked, and he ran out of fuel. And so he had to back down and wait for the service truck to come with fuel so that they could, they had to bleed the lines, and it was a little bit of a rigmarole, but they finally got him going. I was reminded of that story. You know, sometimes the mountains that we face, sometimes they look like that driveway, but sometimes they actually look like a sheer cliff ahead of us. Oh, I think of just thought of the children of Israel. It was a river, a big river in front of them. Sometimes we're faced with things that, in our own strength, it's impossible. Perhaps perhaps sometimes we make the start only to slide back down because we didn't have enough fuel. Because sometimes maybe we try our own strength, sometimes we might just not be relying on just not have enough of the presence of God with us. Sometimes we faint. It's a picture of fainting, starting up and dying out, backing on down. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. These are some of the words of Paul. And while these things can be real, and so many other things can be real in our life, and they are real at times, and we have to work through these things at times, yet we have this testimony of Paul where he says, starting at verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He continues on here, and we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up Jesus, the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and so shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And he says in verse 17, for our light affliction, and sometimes the afflictions don't seem all that light. Sometimes they seem pretty heavy. Oftentimes we can think of others who have gone, faced difficulties even more than what we have faced. One of the keys would be to wait upon the Lord. And we see that here in this chapter, in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. So the inward man, as we wait upon the Lord, the inward man can be renewed in spite of things we're facing. We can be renewed in spirit so that we faint not. My mind went to, along with that, well, before I go there, 1 Samuel tells us about David, and he was in a very trying situation. I'm thinking he had been out to battle and came back, and the Amalekites had come in. They had destroyed the city of Ziklag, taken his family, taken all the wives, all the children, sons and daughters, it says. And that's what they come back to, David and his men. Everything was gone. So, and I might just turn there just to get those words in 1 Samuel chapter 30. At the beginning, so he says, David's in verse 5, his two wives were taken captive, and verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. And so David here was the responsible, you could say the responsible party, and the people were now talking about stoning him, and because they were all grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But it says here that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And so in the midst of this, where he was threatening to be killed and he had lost his family, David, where did he run to? He ran to his God, to the Lord his God. Secondly, we can embrace the challenges that we face. We can choose to embrace, or we can choose to try to run away. And I think we see that concept of embracing in these verses here in 2 Corinthians. My mind went to a different chapter, though, where Paul says in chapter 12, verses 7 to 10, where he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of that revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I think there's the key to embracing what God brings our way. Thirdly, believing the promises of God. And I just want to read a couple of verses in Isaiah chapter 40. They are familiar verses. Chapter 40, verse 26 to 31, he says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Who saith, Thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God." And that's in a question form. Does God not see? "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." I believe clinging to the promises that God gives us. And what's he saying here in this chapter? He faints not, and he has all power there to help us through and give us the victory to not faint, but continue steadily on. Another thing I think helps quite a bit is simply service to others, and I don't have any scriptures for that, but in trying situations, focusing on service and others can make a difference. Just one writing here yet. In closing, looking on the wrong side. Dr. G.F. Pentecost was once trying to comfort a woman who had passed through sore trials. Failing in his efforts to cheer her and dispelling her doubts, he took up some embroidery upon which she had been working and said, "What a confusion of threads. Why waste time on a thing like that?" And so I think with the embroidering, if you're looking on the backside, it's just looks like a bunch of nonsense, you might say. It doesn't make any sense looking at it from the backside. Turning the embroidery over, she said, Now look at it. You were seeing it from the wrong side." That's it exactly," said Dr. Pentecost. "You are looking at your trials from the wrong side. Turn them over and look at them from the right side. That is, from God's side. The Lord is working out a design of his own for your life, and you must look at things from his point of view and trust his workmanship." God bless you all.